If you will gather with us, let's gather together. Turn in your hymnals to number 755. We're going to read responsibly the call to worship.
God is good all the time. Please turn in your hymnal to page 755. And we'll read responsively Psalm 24.
Let's stand.
You want to stand for reading, and then we'll go into the hymn. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Those that dwell with him. For God has founded it upon the seas, upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in God's holy place? Those who have clean hands and pure hearts, who do not lift up their souls to what is false, and do not swear deceitfully, they will receive blessing from the Lord, and from the God of their salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek the Lord, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Now, the word of God. Thanks be to God. The scripture lesson this morning is from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 5a. If you'd like to look, turn in your pew Bible. It's not found on page, and I don't know what page in the large print, but in the Pew Bible, it's on page 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come, that's the end. The word of the Lord. Praise be to God.
Are you prepared for the gospel, the word of God in the midst of the people of God? Let's stand and hear the good word. This from Mark 1, beginning with the 16th verse. As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fish for people. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boats mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The word of the Lord. Thanks. What did you think of those Bible passages this morning, the call passages? Had you heard those before? You know, there's a danger sometimes to having heard those so many times before. You hear them, you say, oh, yeah, I've heard that one. I already know that scripture. See, for lunch, I'm going to Qdoba's and I'm going to get a burrito. And we've kind of moved beyond the scripture without pausing to hear it. And wouldn't it be wonderful to hear it fresh again for the very first time and to listen to it and think about how exciting it is. These are the calls. The apostles are called here. I looked up the word apostle in the dictionary. Well, actually, I didn't. I looked online. Merriam-Webster's dictionary. It still have any of you still have a book of a dictionary? Yeah, me too. I use it to hold down things that I want to keep flat. Turn to the Merriam-Webster online, and there's two definitions for an apostle. The first is one of those 12. The word is unique and comes out of that Christian calling and of the 12 men, in this case, that Jesus called. But the second definition of an apostle is the first prominent Christian missionary to a region or a group. The first one to go someplace and offer Christ. How would you like to do that? Now, some people are called to missionary work. They're called to go out and go into strange and unusual places. Others are more homebodies, and they say, that's not where I'm called. That's not my gift and grace. And that's okay. Peggy's gift and grace is the keyboards and the piano, and I mean, awesome ability. And we are just gifted to have such beautiful. Mike did a great job of singing that. I could have no more done that. I know about how to do this once, Mike, and that's about it on the guitar. And some have that gift to go in mission and ministry. And yet we're all Christians called in different ways. And Jesus calls them. And they leave their nets to become the leaders, the teachers, the sharers of the word. They take the teachings they've learned from the master teacher and they take them to the world to share them. And they change the world. We're still in the process. We're still becoming more of a Christian world all the time. The kingdom of heaven is still moving forward on to perfection. And then Abram, that calling of Abram. You remember Abram? He used to be Abram before he was Abraham. You remember? Then he gets renamed in that special naming process, Abram. And this is before he's even a Hebrew. The covenants haven't been made. This is at the very beginning, and Abram's living in the same place he's always lived, and he's called and he becomes the father of nations. God says, I will make your descendants as many as the stars in the sky. That's a bunch. And think about it. That's happened because Abraham becomes the father of many. Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Remember that song? Many sons had, help me. Had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Right? Whatever happens from there, and then we get into it. Father Abraham. Think a minute about what that phrase means. We kind of pass it over, but he's the father of the Jewish nations, isn't he? It's Jacob and the 12 sons of Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel. Think of that tree that begins to grow to become Israel. And Christianity comes out of that and the Gentile mission. But think of Abraham's first son. Do you remember him? Abraham couldn't have any kids with Sarai, and so they take Hagar, the handmaiden, so that there will be progeny. Progeny, very precious, very important. And they have Ishmael, the son firstborn of Abraham, and he becomes the father of the Muslim nations. They call them the 12 princes. Did you know that there were 12 on the other side of the family tree? You've got relations that are Muslims, all from Father Abraham. What does that mean when we're striving and struggling about which one's right and wrong? We're all related. Father Abraham had many sons and daughters. And we are one of them, and we are in the midst. And here's that calling, this time when God calls Abram. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I have to tell you about a friend of ours. Bob Kula. Any of you know the name Bob Kula? You wouldn't. He's from Fort Morgan, Colorado. He was the lay delegate to conference. Some of you might have gone to annual conference and met him there, but he's a character. But Bob Kula was born in Fort Morgan, and I believe his parents were born in Fort Morgan, probably in the same house. He told me once, and he was in his 70s when he told me, he says, I have never been out of Fort Morgan more than 2 weeks at any one point in time, except when I was in the military. He's been in that same place, in that same house, in that same neighborhood his whole life. He's rooted. He's got place. His parents are buried there. His mom, Kula, I've forgotten her first name, never mind. Her moms are buried there. Their grandparents are buried there. They know the land. They know every road, street, creek. And they'll give you directions. You love the directions when you're in a country like that. Well, go down here to where the old Taylor house used to be and turn left, and then you go down just past where the ditch, they took that out, but it's where the ditch was, and then turn right. And then they'll laugh at you because you get lost. Bob Kula had so much history. If you said, Bob, we're moving you to Aurora, Colorado, he would be completely flummoxed. He would be completely lost. He would be a fish out of water. Where would he get up in the morning to go hunt geese right before church? Not many opportunities right here in Aurora that I've seen right off the top. He could jump over and jump in his plane and take off and fly a little bit. How would you do that in Denver airspace today? So, place. And I'm lifting this because we need to hear about Abram. God says to him, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house. Leave all of that behind and go where I'm sending you. I'm going to jump a little bit. Daniel, do they still teach you to put on historical lenses at ILEF? Peggy, who's teaching Old Testament at ILEF now? Who's teaching Old Testament? Daniel, who's teaching Old Testament? Mark, George? David Peterson, when I was there. Peterson would say, now put on your historical lenses. We're going to travel back in time, and we're going to look at time through these special glasses that will take us back to the time. Back to that time of Abraham. Back to that time when you might have a coat if you were wealthy. You might have one set of clothes if you were semi-prosperous. You might have just enough possessions that you could probably put in one bag and carry around. I just moved, and my garment bag, just from the coat closet, was a whole box by itself. I had coats in there I had forgotten I had that I don't fit in anymore, that I just wonder, why in the world am I moving this? But it moved with us, and so here we are. Today we don't understand that sense that having a coat, it was a big deal. Do you remember Joseph and the Technicolor dream coat? Do you remember the Joseph and the coat with many sleeves? Part of the reason his brothers are jealous is he has a coat with sleeves. It's a very special thing to have things, to have possessions. Because people didn't have anything. Your number one job, and if you put on those historical lenses, was just to find enough food to survive. You're always hungry. You're always working just to survive, much less time to weave and put together a garment or a coat or shoes or what have you. Here's the disciples. Listen. James and John left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed Jesus. They own a boat. They have nets that they own. You know, they had to make the ropes to make the nets and then weave the nets and make all of that. Do you realize how much time and energy that would have taken? And they have hired men working for them. That means that they are wealthy enough to own all of this. Boats and nets, enough to even hire extra help. Zebedee is a wealthy fisherman. Wealthy. And James and John leave that. They just leave that and go on. They're going to inherit that. All they have to do is sit back and they will be the inheritors of this tremendous legacy, all this wealth of their father. When Jesus says, come, follow me. And they leave that to follow. They leave behind families, they leave behind security, they leave behind all that was. To follow this, we know now they did the right thing, but they didn't know. And how would they be about that? And Jesus' call to them was enough that they did so. Paula and I had some friends in the Johnstown church, and he works in the oil fields. He's a master electrician. And they were setting up some kind of a something structure or what have you. And he was helping wire, getting it all set up. And they lived in a mobile home while they were in the Johnstown area. They came from Glade Park, Colorado, on the western slope above Grand Junction. They'd been there about a year. Now the company says, well, we're sending you to this little town in the panhandle of Texas. The nearest big town is Carlsbad, New Mexico. You know you're in the middle of nowhere when Carlsbad is the biggest town in the neighborhood. So they're going to move. How would you like to move down there? You could have your own pet tarantula and Gila monster and a garden of saguaro cactus. Think of the change that they're going to go through, and they're going to go. Because the company is sending them. The company doesn't care. They're paying him a lot of money. And they don't care about the fact that it's disrupting their lives and tearing them away from where they were and sending them to a strange and unusual place. They're paying him. She's going along. The wife, Joyce, is going to go with Larry. And at some point, they'll make enough money that the company will say, "We're moving you again." And they're going to say, "No." But here's this call. This is a call from God now. How would these people have responded to this call? They could have said no. Through the grace of God, we are given free will. We are given the choice to decide. Do we want to follow or maybe not? Maybe this is beyond our comfort level. Maybe this is more than we're willing to risk and give away. Maybe this is too much for us to do. We have the choice. But most of us have stood before the body here and the pastor has turned to us and said, "Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?" That's a membership vow. Do you remember it? Now, if you're like me, whenever I get in front of a crowd, my mind kind of goes blank. And whatever they're saying to me, it just kind of blurs together. I don't hear it very clearly. And I just nod yes at the appropriate times. Maybe that's how we did our membership vows. But do you hear those words that we vow? Yeah, we made vows and promises and commitments to follow Christ, to be Christians. Now, maybe it seems worrisome. Maybe it seems heavy. And you think about it. Think about the commitment that Christ is asking these people to make. And yet He says, fear not, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It doesn't seem like it when we look at it from the outside, and sometimes it seems overwhelming, and yet called, Jesus never leaves us. Never. It's sort of like Paula's children's moment this morning. Curious George, this man with the yellow hat, always watching over George. God is always there watching over us and making sure God's with us. God never leaves us. And when we are about that work, God prospers us. Now, my friends that are our friends that are going to move to Carlsbad, they said, "Don't worry." They said, we'll go down there for a couple of years. If we stay that long, we'll stay 2 years. And then we'll get moved somewhere and it'll either be better or we'll quit or what have you. Well, we'll see each other. We'll cross paths. And I said, I have no doubt of that. Because that's how the family is. And trust. Trust that God is with us. God is in the midst of our journeys. Oil company is not worried about their journey. But our journey in Christ, brothers to sisters, person to person, God is always there. If you have joined this church and members of this church, you've made that commitment. You made that commitment as Christians. As clergy, I've made that commitment not only to follow Christ, but to itinerate at the will of the bishop. And that's why I've had the joy of coming here. It's been a big change. It was one that scared the dickens out of me. But I said, "You and me, Lord, you stick with me. We'll make this work." And we're going to. And it's wonderful to be able to be here and to join together. And new things are happening. New possibilities beyond our imagination, but by the grace of God. So here we are. And we are called. Christians all, we are called. And we have gifts and graces to respond in different ways. May we remember that those who were called before, that we take for granted, those disciples, those apostles that were called, it was a big commitment of theirs. Abraham, a huge commitment. Sarai, following with her husband. How is our commitment to God and to Christ? Trust Him and remember, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.